The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
No pressure, speak.
Hello, Professor Matthew Mayo.
When I looked up, because you guys always make fun of me for going one way down the table,
no,
interrupting
don't.
What you're doing,
we
I
never
one person.
Do that.
The rest of us did.
We never do that. He's lying.
Okay, I'm lying.
It's a total fabrication.
One day I will call on someone across the table,
anyway.
But it's not happening today.
How
That's
are you,
just
Matt?
Not happening. How are you?
I asked you first.
We have reached midterm. It's week 7.
Yes, we have.
And I am now formally completely behind on everything.
Me too.
That's the best I can do.
I am as well.
So I'll see you in December. Sorry.
Sounds good.
But
it's a pleasure to be here.
My friends make fun of me. They actually exist too. That's cool. Someone calls me up and says, an old high school buddy, let's get lunch someday. And I go, matter of factly, December 20th? Like, is that okay? And like, you're joking, right? I'm like, no. Like, that's the next open day that I have.
No, we're here in a college.
I'm a college professor. That room is only used for an hour a week. We can do all sorts of things with that.
Anyway, before you went on your rant about how busy you are, I said, it's a pleasure to be here.
It is. It is a pleasure to have you here with your
Thank
Mount
you.
Holyoke mug. It's a big deal. Professor Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies. He is on a mauve purple pink kick this whole fall.
It's a pleasure to be here in purple.
Yes, it is.
I love that shirt.
Yeah, it is.
It's clean.
He's an artist.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Right. It is a lovely color.
Yes, thank you.
It's a lovely
actually,
hue.
Dave needs to show Marcy his Mark Rothko.
Oh yeah.
You have a Rothko?
Marcy likes that kind of art. She likes.
Yeah, she loves Rothko.
Yeah, what I was doing is I was repainting my garage, and the windows are boarded up. So I said, well, I'm just not going to paint it. So I did. I took a Mark Rothko. So I said, I can probably handle that, right, because it's very abstract and relatively geometrical. And it actually turned out pretty well. I'm very pleased with myself.
Are you suggesting you're as talented as Rothko?
Let's put it this way. I am actually seriously thinking of taking a course in painting.
Come on down. Let's go do it.
Yeah. It was fun.
I liked it on Facebook.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
I'm all for it.
We are hearing the dulcet tones of Professor Dave Kokel from the Department of Philosophy, our guest panelist for today.
Yeah, thank you, dulcet. I'll have to look that up. It might be a trivia question.
Like dotard.
Well, right? I remember it was Edwin. It was Edwin always had the dulcet voice. Right?
Kim Jong-un made everybody look up the word dotard because apparently nobody knew what it meant.
You went very much down sort of a very formal Victorian. I totally read that as dotard, and it sounds way more like brutal when you say it
that
way.
Yeah, it does.
You were like, it's going, maybe it's a French base.
It sounds politically incorrect.
I think it's Shakespearean.
See, initially when I heard, I thought, is that a mashup between dope and retard? I mean, yeah.
Dotards.
Yeah,
it's an Elizabethan word, I think.
There you go. Speaking of not Elizabethan words, Professor Kendra Evans is here from the Department of Chemistry and Biochemistry.
Hello.
The partially renovated chemistry building.
The partially temperature-controlled chemistry building.
Yes, also partially temperature-controlled. At what point will there be an investment that mirrors the fact that summers and falls are only going to get hotter from this point in human history on?
Well, that's just science.
Oh, that's just because you think climate change is, real.
I follow the data.
Are the chemistry labs only going to be, clothing optional before long? I mean,
look.
They already are.
Those lab coats cover a lot. So.
That late summer cold snap that led to the early fall heat wave. We're down in the lab, and the students are, huddled and freezing. And then the next week, it's so steamy in our goggles that we all can't see each other. So we're, taking selfies.
The
students, we have no idea what's going on.
They have to wear long sleeves and long pants.
Right.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
And closed-toed shoes.
Right.
They don't
No matter the temperature.
They don't like it. They definitely don't like to follow the dress code.
Science. It's magic, but real.
Yes. Professor Beth Oljar is here, also from the Department of Philosophy. What's the dress code for your courses?
Pretty much anything you want.
You're looking at it.
Yeah. I mean, I walk around like a big, gigantic bruise because of medications I'm on. So, I mean, I just wake up and there are bruises. It's not like I'm running into things. And they don't hurt. I mean, that's sort of the advantage, but it's kind of weird to wake up and it's like, I have yet another bruise.
You don't think it's that supernatural thing where you like get up in the middle of the night and you're like doing stuff, but then you end up back in bed before you wake up or something?
And I don't have to do some paranormal show with you, no. Do I?
Okay. What was the name of that? Paranormal Activity. That's what I was thinking.
No, I don't think it's that. Okay. I think it's just meds.
Meds. It's the way it goes. This is a program, folks, where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. And if you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on Facebook. We're just finishing up a set of questions from the warmest wishes of Valencia, California, Frank Burrows.
Frank.
Regular warmth, by the way, not like Michigan warmth. These were some really, really interesting questions about famous nicknames. Wow. So who was known during his time as the People's Tycoon?
Lee Iacocca?
No, it was going to be before that.
Ooh. Rockefeller?
Astor?
A big discussion's going to follow after I reveal the answer to this question.
Buffett.
No, think local.
Local?
The People's
Ford.
Tycoon. Oh, Henry Ford was known as the People's Tycoon.
Really? That was a complete guess on my part.
Yes. Not too shabby. I think the people would have viewed him that way, you know, whether it was true or not.
Well, mass production,
Or anti-Semitism, too.
Got my great-grandfather to come over here. $5 a day. Mouths to feed.
Hey, it's more than what we're making. Oh, did I say
almost.
That?
Did you say that out loud? Yes, you did.
Well, you are an artist.
Yeah. Not starving. I ate well today, so. Okay.
You just need to die, and then, of course, you will be appreciated.
I like staying on the side of the grass.
What writer was nicknamed the Belle of Amherst?
Emily Dickinson.
Yes, it was. Emily
so
Dickinson.
So quick.
Yes. Wonderful. Question number 21. No correct response given. Professors, what nicknames have you had in your lifetime your adoring public wants to know?
Oh, dear Lord.
I don't think I can repeat any of them.
I had so many. Bullet.
So many.
Bullet. You were Bullet?
Oh, man.
That's an awesome
name.
I would
so
kill
cool.
for that.
Yeah.
That's so great.
She used to call me Bullet because she said you ran like you were shot out of a gun.
Oh
my gosh.
Wow.
Usually with no clothes on.
Oh, well, you know.
Streaking.
I was young. Streaking before it was even.
Before it was cool. What
can I drop my, come on.
Yeah, I have only two. That one is from my family. I'm Bug. Bug. I still go by Bug
That's
in the family.
That's
yeah, my first child's Little Bug.
I love it.
It's cute.
Yeah. And then for some reason, and I said this to our research methods class recently, I had the cohort of people from the music department and the music community where I live that call me Peach. And then I told them, after I told them that that was my nickname by some people, I was like, but it would be weird if you called me that. So I went ahead and clarified that.
Bug and Peach. I'm wondering if this is a Kentucky thing with like...
Somehow
you know,
Professor
nature.
Peach doesn't work well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Come on,
well,
Dave.
Bug is from Colorado.
I got one. I've only had one nickname in my entire life, and it was only when I was a kid. It was Coco, K-O-K-O. It was just a riff on my last name.
Only makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I still see people from my own hometown that's Coke or Coco, something like that. Always, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we'll have to remember that and use it in an inappropriate
in a meeting somewhere. Yeah.
I can count on you.
Do we need to make buttons on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
At some point, you must have been called DC, Dave.
No, but that one never stuck.
Oh, really?
The one that always stuck was Theodore from Alvin and the Chipmunks. And the other one's Rusty from a George Carlin album.
Oh my gosh!
You don't, Rusty. You know. And the running joke was something along the lines of, "You don't hear too many Asians nicknamed Rusty." So I got the nickname Rusty.
You got the nickname.
I got the nickname Rusty.
Mm-hmm.
We were listening to George Carlin when I was in sixth grade, and go, "That's hilarious!" So I got stuck with that one.
Wow.
But if anybody ever did call you DC, you should say, "Nope, I'm a Marvel guy."
Too many.
All the way.
No,
100%.
Heather.
Come on. I
can't.
Well, when my
this.
Daughter Olivia was really, really young,
blame her.
No, wait. She used to call Professor Kokel Dave Cuckoo Clock.
She did.
Okay.
It never caught on as a nickname, in my defense.
No, but thank you know, goodness. She was what four?
And she was precocious then, as she is now.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess when I was growing up, my mother used to call me Princess Grace.
Really?
Ooh, yeah.
That's classy.
That's awesome.
That's swanky.
So far, I think you and Beth have the best.
Yeah. Bullet and Princess Grace.
Bullet. I mean, you can't beat Bullet. Yeah, that's the first one we heard.
Grace Kelly, High Society.
Absolutely.
That's what it was from. I mean, that's why she, it was Grace Kelly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, Matt.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I nicknames that I can think of are directly connected to people making fun of me. So high school and grade school, really interesting after we learned about meiosis. So that definitely was a big deal. And to some professors in graduate school, they called me Matt Meow, which that caught on with a whole bunch of... Dave's drawn me as a cat before.
Yes, that's true.
But honestly, the number one nickname I get called to this day, and it's kind of a weird crossover, is my grandmother's, one still alive, and my mom still call me Matteo, which is Italian or Spanish for Matt. And Jane in our building calls me Matteo, which is just sort of a weird connection. She just started doing that.
She picks up on family nicknames. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I call my daughter Juliana Jules, and she calls her Jules because she heard me call her Jules. So she just picks up on it.
Yeah, she picks up on it. So.
Wow.
You're one of those people that just like to be more familiar with people. So you give them by like the more casual name. Like, I had a student this semester, and I accidentally called him Tom, and he goes, Thomas. I go, okay.
Oh, all right. Yes.
Didn't want to cross any lines.
Yes.
First thing I do when I take attendance, if you have a nickname or something else you prefer to be called, please let me know, because if you called me Elizabeth, it would totally freak me out. Because I hear my mom being really mad at me.
Yeah. It would, you know, Bullet was for the good days.
Elizabeth Ann Alter.
Oh, my.
I was doing something wrong.
Oh, my. Well, we're going to move on here. Got another set of questions. Oh, great form filler outer for show 1809 here. Dear Matt and professors, in commemoration of Halloween, I came up with the topic of candy, as it's a slight deviation from professor's favorite topic of course, food. I hope you'll find them entertaining and use them on your show. 20 questions from Amy Dixon, who's written us all sorts of questions in the past. Mm-hmm. Let's have fun
candy.
Under the guise of candy. Okay. It's going to be just dandy. In the 80s movie, The Breakfast Club, what candy did Allison Reynolds, Ally Sheedy, make her sandwich with?
Pixie sticks.
Wow. And there were potato chips, too.
Horrendous. Oh, yeah, and she had to crush them, if I remember correctly.
I love it. It's one of my favorite movies.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It hit way too close to home
I love the pathos.
Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, this is why I hate high school. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to drop out.
I still
the best John Hughes movie ever made.
Yeah, it was good, but I'm still stuck on the pixie sticks themselves. My kids have been trick-or-treating, let's say, for at least a decade. I don't know if they've ever come back with pixie sticks. It's disgusting.
It is.
Let's just go get the pound bag of sugar and let's just pound it right now. You know what I mean?
It's like, the delivery system that's what makes it.
Yeah, I guess that's what makes it. Yeah.
All that.
On Iggy Pop's iconic song, Candy, who was he paired with?
Kate Pearson.
Yeah, B-52s. Yeah, very well done. It's been a while since I've heard
Of myself as a big Iggy fan, but apparently not.
No, I think that's his highest charting
single.
Yeah, I think so.
No way.
Yeah, that's amazing right there.
No,
but as far as like top 40 though.
Wow.
Because I mean, Iggy's big, but he's never caught on.
That's true.
It's true.
It's always been a cult following.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he's still brilliant. So
absolutely. What Milton Bradley game did Candyland supplant as their top-selling board game starting in 1949?
Does it also have a candy theme?
It does not.
Oh, okay.
The candy has been exhausted by the mention of Candyland. No, we're going way back. So this is a board game, I've only played it once, about a festooned, like a dressed-up rabbit who's leading you through the forest.
Huh?
It has a very funky name.
Wow.
The Bunny Trail?
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's actually the name of the character, the rabbit. I think I'm pretty sure he's got like a top hat and a monocle. It's not Mr. Moneybags or anything.
Monopoly Rabbit?
No.
The name of the game was Uncle Wiggily.
Oh,
his name.
Right.
Wow. Nope.
Well,
it got nothing. There at
all. I was a Parker Brothers fan.
Now I remember.
You're going branding on this? We're thinking brands while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. Questions today about Melville, Charles Dickens, Tolstoy, and the Cambrian rocks. How's that? Today's panel, I'm the man with all of the questions and most of the answers, Bill Raby. On my right, history professor Frederick H. Hayes.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Professor Hayes. On my left, Russell McLaughlin of the University of Detroit Green Room Programs.
How do you do, I'm sure?
Yes. Thank you, Professor McLaughlin. And our middleman again, Professor John Mahoney of the University of Detroit English Faculty.
With approval of that, certainly. How do you do?
All of the questions used on this program are submitted by listeners. If you stump the experts, you will receive a subscription to a national magazine, The Atlantic, Harper's, or America. Now, this message from the University of Detroit. Thank you. This question is from Carl Budd, B-U-D-D, of Detroit, Michigan. Actually, he sent three questions, and again, we warn the listener, if you're going to send three, send them all in one batch.
You can't divide 16 by 3.
No, but you can divide the sheets on which he writes them into three.
Yeah. But each one was sent in a separate envelope, you see.
Yeah, so he's wasting 12 cents there.
Yeah. I see what you mean, Fred, yeah. I bow to that brilliant piece.
Send them all in one envelope.
Brilliant piece of economic mathematics.
In Charles Dickens' Pickwick Papers, what was the name of the law firm which represented the plaintiff, Mrs. Bardell?
Oh, that was, wait a minute, the, give me a little tiny clue, will you?
Well, you may have a little trouble seeing the whole thing clearly. It may be sort of misted over.
Dim and dimmer.
Wait a minute. Will you give me the first name of the firm?
Dodson.
These questions.
Dodson and Fogg. Right. Dodson and Fogg.
All right. Half credit for that.
And we're back with some great questions from Amy Dixon. We're talking candy. Gosh, what we had on our last show was like 96%+ of American adults confess to stealing candy from little kids' Halloween troves.
Yeah, well, that's you made up for the majority of it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. If there's a take five in that bucket, it's mine. That's all I got to say.
You remember years ago I drew that one caricature of you snipping out the bottoms of your children's pillowcases?
I remember that. I still have that on my fridge.
You're still doing it, right?
One of your kids gave you a card that said something about daddies being sneaky snackers.
Yes. That's right. That's right. They always sneak some for you.
That's actually a better name than...
I don't know anybody else who actually, at A&W, sends his kids to the counter to get another Coney dog.
That's right. That's right. Because there was one each, and they were cheap that day.
Wow. That sends his kids up.
I start with two.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's the other way to do it.
Yeah.
What's the name of the American Graffiti character played by Candy Clark, for which she was actually nominated for Best Supporting Actress?
Cookie.
Initials D.D.
Dolores.
Mm-mm.
Donna.
Debbie. Diane something. Debbie.
It's Debbie. It's Debbie. A Debbie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Dixon.
Same name as writer, producer, director of the TV show Girls. Same last name.
Dunham.
Debbie Dunham is what it says here.
Kid one.
I just remember the cars.
I'm giving us full credit for that one. This English chocolate bar is known as Bros. It means brittle in the Netherlands. What's it more commonly known as in the UK? It's like the most famous candy bar in the UK that we don't have here in the States.
Mars.
No, it's not what it says here. It starts with the letter A.
Oh. Arrow?
Arrow is what it says here. Yeah, Arrow. A-E-R-O.
That was one of my favorite candy bars growing up.
Really? They're
wonderful.
Are they in Canada?
Yes.
They're in Canada.
They also have mint ones, too.
Well, former Dominion.
Uh-huh.
Why is the candy so different in Canada than in the U.S.?
Yeah.
And nicer.
Yeah. Why can't we just
they
get that down here?
They put niceness in it.
They put niceness in it.
Why don't we just have that?
Because Hershey PA decided to take over America. And, we didn't listen.
That's true.
Well,
that's
actually true. I still like their nuggets with almonds.
In what North American city was the first Whitman sampler first produced, and in what year?
Boston.
It's close to Boston, but not Boston.
Philadelphia,
that's a good guess. Now let's see how close we can get on the
18-something
is partial credit.
72.
A little
gotta
bit
be earlier than
Kendra?
Earlier than that.
Earlier than that?
Earlier
oh, wow,
than 72.
I was not gonna say it earlier.
It was earlier than 1850.
Oh, my goodness. 36?
1842 is what it says here.
You surrounded
thanks.
So do we get credit for that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I love the way you score.
Absolutely.
It's just like we just keep chipping away at it.
It's like the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, it's right. His students wish he was
I think
great
he might be less generous with partial credit in organic chemistry.
Possibly. Possibly.
I have one of your students, actually, Ethan Powers.
Oh, yeah, Ethan.
He has organic chem with you, and then he comes to early modern with me and
That's really right.
Gets his brain completely fried.
That's the poor
guy.
Yeah,
I had a poor guy.
He's a nice guy. Always thinking outside the box. According to the National Confectioners Association, how many pounds of candy corn are sold in the United States every year? We had this on one of our last shows, but do you remember what it was?
3,000.
Oh my. It's a little low.
It's going to be.
It is the most popular Halloween candy for almost 20 years.
Now, are we guessing by weight?
I would guess how many millions of pounds?
Oh my goodness.
What? 5 million pounds.
Higher.
10 million pounds.
25 million pounds.
20 million pounds annually of candy corn, the most popular Halloween candy.
If I heard that on a previous show, I blocked it out.
Because
it's a horrifying thing.
You have children.
Okay, Jane gets the best candy corn. I don't know where she gets that from. I think they put extra butter or something in it.
I finally figured out that when all these kids who come to my house on Halloween kept saying they liked my house, and I'm like, what are they talking about? I have
no
idea.
It ain't the house.
It's the candy.
The Skittles, the Nerds, the little candy bars. I mean, I'm not going to give them an apple or potato. It's Halloween.
Here's
if
a penny.
You don't get to OD on candy then.
Toothbrushes.
When will you?
I give out toothbrushes.
Oh,
you do not.
Popcorn balls.
Nobody comes to our house for
well,
Halloween
that's the
anymore.
Reason.
Let's move on. In what country, in the native language, do we have the Candy Cane Mountains? Starts with the letter A.
Albanian?
No. You know, you're close, geographically speaking. We can always look at the big U.S. map up here. That won't help us internationally.
Because it's not the Balkans.
Cheating.
So.
Begins with an A, you said?
The language begins with an A?
No, the country.
Oh.
In its native tongue, they're called the Candy Cane Mountains. It's not translated here. No.
Albania.
No, she already said that. No,
I think I can give it away by
Algeria.
Giving you the second letter. First letter A, second letter Z.
Azerbaijan.
Is the candy cane.
I was going to mispronounce it.
Yeah, I was afraid. After I was starting to think what it was, I was like, I'm not going to say that out loud.
No, that ain't.
And in today's fake news, this is the country on which Candyland is based. No, that's not true at all.
I had no idea.
We had some questions about Bean Boozled, which is a very fun game to play. Jelly Belly will make two jelly beans of the exact same color. One is a wonderful flavor and the other is a horrible flavor.
Yeah.
So in the 2008 version of Bean Boozled, because you don't know what you're eating, what was the real flavor or the good flavor of the earwax flavored candy that they supplied?
Oh.
Think color and think of a
licorice.
Good flavor. Wasn't licorice.
Hold on. So what?
Butterscotch.
Yeah, butterscotch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a little closer to what we're going
caramel?
For here.
Caramel.
I'm giving major partial credit. Cafe latte is what the flavor of the good one was. My kids were on board, and they were eating the toothpaste-flavored one, and there was a Dirty Socks one that was really horrendous.
Oh, so there's actually different editions every year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
when we got to the...
Doesn't everybody eat their Skittles by color? I always go for, like, the orange and ones first.
Beth, were you here last week? Or, no, that one time we had those questions, I got flogged for wanting to mix the Skittles and M&M's together.
That's the worst thing you can do.
That's really dumb.
Yeah.
It's not dumb. It's evil.
It is.
Wow.
Is it bad, though? Like, does it actually taste good? No.
It's just to confuse people.
Who found the 5 golden tickets in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory?
Veruca Salt.
Yes.
Charlie Bucket.
Yep.
Violet Beauregard.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Bucket.
Mike TV.
Augustus Gloop.
Mm-hmm. Augustus.
Charlie.
Am I missing anybody?
No, you
got
them all. You
got them all.
Them.
Yeah. Hardcore.
Probably in order of height.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm.
In order of height.
Or at least in the you know,
oh my gosh.
In the order of weight, ending with Augustus.
I think Roald Dahl is one of the best children's authors ever.
Yeah.
Pretty fun stuff.
James of the Giant Peach.
Mm-hmm. I still have the original hardbound copy of that came out in the
Matilda
70s.
Matilda is my favorite.
When my older sister bought it for me.
Next time
I don't speak to her anymore, but I still have the book.
Has anyone seen the movie version of James and the Giant Peach?
Yes.
The stop
it's
motion.
It's wacky.
It's pretty weird.
Now,
I think I did see it.
A friend of mine is actually the production designer for James and the Giant Peach.
Oh,
really?
Cool.
Oh.
Very
He's
cool.
also the production designer for Ratatouille and Cars. And all
I
all
love
stuff.
Ratatouille because, of course, it's about a
food.
Rat who cooks.
Food.
I love it.
Of course.
The Rat Chef.
Uh-huh.
Actor John Gilchrist was rumored to have been killed by candy. What candy was it and how?
Who is John Gilchrist?
There's your question.
Did it have tree nuts in it?
It did not.
Peanuts.
No.
Was he crushed by a large candy corn?
No.
Was it actually John Candy? No.
Now that is making some connections. I'm giving that quarter credit.
Did it have liquor in it?
It did not.
Okay.
There was a certain candy that apparently, you know, even though it's not really true, when you mix it with something else,
Nerds?
It makes a whole lot of foam.
Pop rocks?
Pop rocks.
Who died of pop
rocks?
Did
he have the exploding pop rock stomach that we all heard?
They said that he was. It's the guy who played Mikey in the Life cereal commercials.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And the popular urban legend was that he had died by his stomach exploding from eating pop and
he
pop
hates
rocks.
Everything.
And loves, it's not true at all.
Drew loves life cereal. And we've recently
it would be
started
so cool if it was true.
No.
And every time I take out the box of life cereal, I just think, let's ask Mikey. He won't eat it. Yeah, he hates everything. Just can't get the ad out of my...
What,
no.
Whatever happened to that?
It's enduring.
That was an odd generation of young child actors. Does anybody remember Mason Reese?
That sounds
that?
Really familiar.
Fat, pudgy, little-faced kid.
I don't.
I can picture it.
No.
Okay, all right.
In the modern era, what candy company makes Laffy Taffy, Runtz, and Spree?
Is it Willy Wonka?
It's Willy Wonka, yeah, it
wow.
is.
Mm.
They
that
also
was, that was like
nerds.
A no-brainer. Why did it take till the 1980s to... We should have a candy company named after this guy. Mm. It doesn't
Laffy
make
Taffy
any sense.
Laffy Taffy, so good.
Nerds.
Until it's not good anymore. And then it's bad.
Spree.
It does go bad.
What was that other song? Airheads?
I don't think Airheads is Willy Wonka.
Lemon drops.
No, that...
Lemon
well,
handles.
Wait. Airheads might be. Does that come in the same package at Costco?
I think so, because I was,
with the Laffy Taffy.
The only reason I remember Airheads because I won those at Marvin's last time I was there with all the tickets I won.
And it's deceivingly similar to Laffy Taffy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, Spree. Spree, Sweet Tarts, Skittles. Those are always what I go for rather than, like, chocolate. It's more...
Such abrupt end to the show. It's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Hill Vasquez.
You usually go the other way. Goodbye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Kokel.
I hope to see you soon.
Professor Evans.
Bye.
Professor Oljar.
More candy reminiscing next week.
And now these words.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The University of Detroit presents Ask the Professor. The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWint, and today we have our regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
A pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here.
Yep, I mean, it truly is.
On his right, from the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
Hi, Edwin.
Hi,
glad
Claire.
To be here.
Glad to have you here.
It's an honor and a privilege.
Claire's right, from the Department of Theater, Professor Arthur Beer.
Hello, Edwin.
Hello. On our last program, we were near the end of a set of questions from Bertie Bates of Grinnell, Iowa. She was asking you questions about movie stars. This woman was a nightclub hostess in later years, but when young, made a short subject doing some lightning-fast trick riding.
Annie Oakley.
No.
A nightclub hostess.
Catherine the Great.
Right. Her first name was the name of a great southern state, big state.
Texas.
Texas Ginnon?
That's right.
Texas what?
That?
Texas Ginnon used to run a speakeasy in New York, and she was famous for saying, "Welcome, suckers," when people came in.
That was Sophie Tucker.
No.
Okay. How many times did she say that to you, Arthur?
I wasn't there back then.
But his father told him.
Right.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Today, Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.